have some verses, but I want to talk about my train ride a little bit more. That dream, that vision, that nightmare. Because as time goes on, God keeps unfolding and revealing more and more about this thing to me. And I am concerned as a leader, as a pastor, as a teacher, that I don't want us to hear that and go, wow, that's deep. Wow, that. Okay, back to life. You know, everything. You know. It's real. It's real. So I called my son last Sunday, and we spoke after service, and I said, I want to tell you about this experience I had. So I started telling him I was on this train, right? He said, was it a dream? I said, dream, vision, nightmare, call it whatever you want to call it. And I walked him through the story. I'm on the train. Train's above the ground. What was that? I'm on the train. Train's above ground. See the light coming through the window. Conductor's announcing that this train is hellbound. I don't know, because when I first told you the story, I don't know if I really kind of, well, no, because I'm never going to be able to really give you the depth of it in words. It's never going to happen. But I'll do my best, and I pray that God helps you see. Everybody on the train was, it was a good day. Everybody was kind of sitting, relaxing, and the announcer's announcing that this train is going to hell. And everybody was cool. At least I heard the announcer. And he was so pleasant, it sounded like he could be doing a Barney episode. He was saying, you're going to hell. You know, he said, this next stop, this final stop on the train will be hell. You know, very, very polite. And I'm hearing this, I'm looking around the train, I'm going, no, this train can't be going to hell. I'm on the train. Train ain't going to hell. I'm on the train. And everybody else didn't even seem to care what was being said. When it left that last stop and he said the next stop is hell, still. And then within a second, it wasn't like it gradually went underground. It just went, bah! And it was into darkness. I share with your, you know, despair immediately into this train. Despair. Hopelessness, fear, confusion, anguish, any depression, any negative thing you could think. But it wasn't a feeling. It was a presence. It was thick like a cloud, like you could touch it. It was so deep and it was so heavy and it was all around. And the whole train, like I said, turned into a house of horrors. People started screaming and wailing and I felt something that God showed me this week that I never understood before. It was an immediate absence of something that we so take for granted. The presence of God was gone. And you may not ever think you understand that until it's gone. You may, oh Jesus. There was no sense of love in the air. It's like almost like you don't even pay attention to oxygen because you just breathe till you get in a situation where you can't. And then that breath means everything in the world to you. When I say to you that there was no presence of God and there was no love, it was you felt it was missing. You felt it. The other thing was, the anguish was so heavy and so strong. Now, we ain't talking about a gradual situation here. We're talking about, bam, just like that. You were here, and now you're here. And like what the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the world was changed. My world was changed. I said to my son, it felt like everything in you, you felt like you want to die. And then the reality hits you, you already are dead. This is it. You you craved death at that moment, only to realize that you were. This is it. And this is the way this is going to stay. And in those seconds, I screamed out. All I could say is, oh my God, help me. And as this black figure, and the only way I can describe it is, if you've seen Ghosts, that movie Ghosts with Demi, but they weren't little skinny things. This was a big, towering thing, but just black floating mist almost. And as he walked toward me and he reached his hand toward me, God yanked me out. So I shared this whole story with my son, and my son says to me, as soon as you started telling the story and you said the train, I knew exactly what you were going to say. I said, why? He said, because this is why and what turned his life and made him rededicate himself to the Lord, and why he's so hard on you about you need it's Jesus and it's the devil and like, don't take the stuff lightly. He said he started studying people's experiences who went to hell. And he said, and it's always a train ride. If he said, it may be other vehicles at times, but it always seems to be a train. And he said, did you smell the burning of flesh? Did you hear, you know, the screams? I said, son, the train doors never opened. We were just on the platform. We ain't going down no pit. And I felt that anguish on the platform. No, the doors of the, I knew when the doors of the train opened, it was over. I knew that what I was feeling was just the beginning. I knew everything at that moment. I knew that horror was on the other side of that door that I never experienced before. Now, and I've said this before, God has shown me hell before. He's walked me around, but like a guest. But to feel it, I'm making a point here. Let me just make one point. Don't be so cocky about your salvation that you think you could just do what you want. Because I was definite, I ain't going. This training, I ain't going there. And all of a sudden, I was there. And within that moment, I was there. And within a second, I was there. Not even a second. Blink your eye. It was like that. I was there. I was there. Now, how many of you have watched the series Titans on HBO Max? I'm surprised. I thought for sure Devon would have said he saw it. There's a series on HBO Max, Titans. It's about Teen Titans, right? Oh. Yeah. Oh. You watched the whole thing?
Not the whole thing.
Okay. Season 3, coming toward the end, a few of the star characters get killed. The last one who gets killed, he opens his eyes, and he's on a train. This is on the TV now. I'm watching this on HBO. He's on a train. The train is totally black and white. It looks like one of them trains from back in the 20s and stuff. He's sitting on the train. Everybody's on the train. Everybody's casual and everybody's calm. Exactly what I saw, except for it was black and white. Conductor comes through the car and calls him out by name. Very polite, Mr. Rogers looking guy. He says, that's me. Where am I? He says, I'm going to need you to come with me. He said, where am I? I'm going to need you to come with me. He said, no, I don't want to come with. And all of a sudden, the face of the man turned dark, and he grabbed him with force. You need to come with me. And he ran from the man, and the man started multiplying into many people as he chased him toward the end of the train. Another one of the Titans that had died was on the train. She was calm, but she saw him scared, so she ran to go say to him, calm down, relax. He jumps off the back of the train. She jumps off with him, and while they're running through the forest, she's saying, where are you going? He said, I got to get out of here. While they're running and they stop, all of a sudden, the whole forest starts to surround them with these black creatures that I saw in the dream. They start coming, surrounding them, and they start shooting some stuff out their hands, and he starts feeling the pain that he felt that killed him. Long story short, they run, they get away. And they find this guy who had died before them, and he's driving around in a car. And he says, you know, there's a bridge. If we can get to this bridge, we could get back to Earth. We can get back to life. And I'm like, this hit me. It hit me really, really hard. Because, one, that means the entertainment industry in the world knows. Whoever did that movie or did that show, they know. And they knew about the train. And they knew about the spirits. And they knew about the demons. But then they try to sweeten it up and say, yeah, but if you can cross this bridge, you can get back to Earth. Or you can get back to the place that you got killed in. Great. What a wonderful. And he said, you got to stay away from them. We call them ghouls, because once they get you, they'll take you down to Hades and there's no escape. But if you can get across this bridge, you'll live. There's an old fable I've heard, and I've shared it a couple of times with people, but it goes like this. Satan calls a meeting with all of his demons, and they're discussing how they can get the most people to hell. And the demons are standing around giving their ideas, and one demon says, just tell them there's no God, it's fake, it doesn't exist. He said, yeah, that won't get a lot of people. It'll get a few, but most people, they know there's God. You know, the scripture says, from the atmosphere, from the world, you know, God's works are evident. Yeah, you ain't going to get a lot of people with that. Next. Other one said, just tell them it's fake, like Christmas, like you notice. You know, he said, yeah, but they grow up and they'll start to seek, or they'll go through things in life. Other one said, you know, do stuff to make them so angry they curse God. He said, well, yeah, sometimes that works, but sometimes that makes them want God more, make them seek God more. And he went around from demon to demon trying to get advice, and none of them could offer good advice. And one demon said, I got it. He said, what's that? Tell him there's more time, there's no hurry. And he said, that's the one. That's the one. You don't have to rush. I'm telling you this. I was on that train, and I knew to call the name, but that message said to me, don't get so cocky in who you think you are in the Lord. And Markel said, when the people talked, and I've heard the stories, a lot of Christians down there, people who call themselves Christians, pastors, leaders. One man was in that, down there screaming to the man who was that he saw walking around, I stole money from the church. I just want to give it back. I just want to give it back, please. No out. We take our salvation lightly, and we treat it like, okay, I got Jesus. Nothing else is required of me. Your obedience is required of you. I'm not even talking about, you know, that you live in holy and do anything right. I'm talking about who comes first. What kingdom are you seeking first? Have you put God in a place that you're using God just to get your blessings to you? Or are you seeking to be a blessing to God? This is why we're here. And what I've learned from that experience and what has changed me forever is this. I'm always looking now for the opportunity to be used by God to keep somebody from going to that place that I saw. Amen. From feeling that thing that I felt, even for a second. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. But seek ye first the kingdom. This timing is crucial. I know this much, and I'm going to give you some scriptures. When we shared, and we went through not too long ago about the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish, 5 smart, and he came. When the Lord came, the 10 who weren't ready had to go back and get oil. The bake was closed and they couldn't get in. I look at that totally different now. Because what it says, they were left out, it was weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we're talking about hell. Yes. Sorry if I don't make you jump and shout today, but you'll have something to think about. But here's the thing that hit me the hardest about the story with the 10 virgins. They all came out to meet the Lord, which means they had an understanding of, or in their relationship or in their mind, they knew him. No, you're not catching what I'm saying. Atheists don't go out to meet the Lord. Are you with me now? People who don't claim to be Christians don't go out to meet the Lord. They all went out, all 10 of them. But 5 of them didn't have enough of something. Now, you're not catching me. Let me put it like this. If we want to put it in general terms, all of them would be considered Christians. But 5 of them were missing something. They didn't have enough oil. They weren't ready for the Lord's coming. Even though he knew he was Lord, they didn't have what was necessary to meet him. You want to have this conversation? Even though they knew he was Lord, they didn't have what it took to meet him. They didn't have enough of what they were supposed to have that when he returned, he could let them in or they could go in. Here's what I'm submitting today. Love your Christianity, love your walk, enjoy your walk. But I'm asking myself every day, do I have enough oil? Am I ready if he shows up? Or am I have to say my lamp is going out, I got to go get some stuff. It's not about a bunch of works, because you're only required to do the works that he's called you to do. So I'm not telling you go stand on the corner and hand out tracts and a megaphone telling people they're going to hell and none of that, and put a little doily on your head and whatever you call them, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, do you have your oil? Do you know that when he comes, you're ready? And I'm going to tell you, I was very, very sure into that dream. And then I came to the realization, not that I was going to hell, but don't get so cocky. Don't get so cocky, because you don't know unless he's told you for sure. Now, God, tell me when to stop. I'm going to go until he tells me to drop the subject. Are we doing okay? I know this is a very serious subject, but I don't want anybody missing the kingdom.
Amen.
I'm not saying or even suggesting that salvation is fleeting and is an easy thing to lose. Not by a long shot am I suggesting that. I'm only suggesting, as the scripture says, let he who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Let's not ever get so cocky in our walk that we don't think we have to tend to it. I'm just keep dropping the scriptures as God has been revealing to me. Work out your own salvation in what? In trembling and fear. He's like, you should be treating this thing like it's the pearl of great price, that you're willing to sell everything to go get that thing. And all the time when I heard these things, I always equated it to the success God wants me to have in life, not what God wants to do with me in this life. I have a different focus now. And that focus for me is God. I understand now why the old people always come to this. Baby, just leave it in the Lord's hand. Don't worry about none of that stuff. You know, they're going to try to belift you. You know, don't get caught up in all of that. God, what am I here for? Why am I here? The older people, they've done it all. They done messed it up. They done screwed it over probably most of their lives. And they're finally at that place where they're saying, only Jesus. They're finally at that place where they're saying, only you, Lord. They're finally at that place they're saying, this salvation matters more to me than nothing on this earth. Nothing. Leave me with nothing. Just don't take that. Don't take away my eternity. Don't let me go to that place. So, people in church now, you can be whatever you want to be in church. You can be a prostitute, be in the church, and prostitute in the church. Giving a good tithe, pastor might not even say nothing about it. You think I'm being extreme, but that does happen. We have a responsibility. Listen to what I'm about to say. What you think I'm going to say? What's our responsibility? What you think I'm going to say? Go ahead, come on, give me something. Go ahead, Penny, you want to say something? You leaning back. Like, go ahead, Penny. What do you think I'm going to say our responsibility is? Nobody? That's scary in itself. Go ahead, Cheryl. That's it right there. And you always gonna say save souls and get the Jesus to the world. I know, I saw it in your face. You're always ready too. We gotta save people for Jesus. No, you better save you. Amen. And then let your salvation spill over to them. Right. You could be standing on the corner preaching to people every day and still go to hell. You gotta save you. He keep like getting up like he's going to go, but he's like, okay, she quiet. Okay, no, she moving in. You good, man. Relax. It's all right. It's okay, Ruel. She said, no, it ain't. I want to get out of here. Listen, that's our responsibility, to have thou walk with God. Not my will, but your will be done. That's our responsibility before God over everything else right now. For me right now, I don't care where you want me to live. People are like, oh, you got such a nice life. You're living in Florida. It must be great. I'm like, Well, why not? I just went from a five-bedroom, three-bathroom house to a one-bedroom apartment and pay rent. I ain't paying rent in 20-something years. You don't understand? That ain't a promotion to me. That's a space to air and heal. But that ain't promotion to me. That's a place God needed to get me alone. So he can say the kind of stuff to me that he's saying right now. That he can heal me and say, it's about us. You know, you got busy taking care of everybody else and everything else and trying to be everything to everybody, and you forgot about us. Well, I was just trying to be a good Christian so I could get saved. That's not where your salvation is. Your salvation is you being before me, hearing my voice, hearing my word, my sheep know my voice. You follow him? Yes, Lord, as I started saying to you before all this went down, I want his stop to be my stop, his go to be my go, his yes to be my yes, and his no to be my no. That is your responsibility as a believer over everything else. And I said yes to that, and I agreed to that, and so did you, because I wanted to his goal to be my goal, and it started because I want to be blessed in this life. I don't want to miss out on my blessings. Now I'm like, nope, I don't want to be on that train that goes to that place. That's my motivation now. Success be damned. Excuse my expression. Listen. I take the success, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things to be added unto you. But my bottom line is I don't want to go on that train ever again, not even in a dream.
Right.
Never. And I don't want you there either. This is who we are now. Seek ye first the kingdom. Relationship with God, friendship with God, obedience to God. What say you, Lord? Am I in the place to be used? That's all I care about right now. Means the world to me. Me and Esther have been talking a lot about this kind of stuff. Last night was her final night at Ain't Too Proud. And it was beautiful. The audience was all gone. It was just the cast. And they got up on the stage in the shape of a horseshoe. And they put Esther like in the middle of the room. And they walked up to her one at a time and handed her a rose. And cried on her and, you know, wept and hugged her. And, you know, it was a long process of me waiting there. And I couldn't get on the stage because I'm not the cast. So I'm down in the audience. nobody's there but me. I'm standing at the foot of the stage, but they're all coming up and they're honoring her. And after they all finished, she said, I want to read something that God gave to me. And I stood there and I watched her literally minister for like 20 minutes to these people. And she said to them, you know, when I came, it was about my success. It was about me. It was about what I wanted to do and where I felt I should be treated. She said, and it took a while for me to understand it's not about me. It's about how God wanted to use me to help you. And she began to share with them about her walk with God, how God was changing her and what priorities were in terms of her walk with the Lord over the success of this thing. And I watched the people respond to her loving on them for 15, 20 minutes in the love of Christ. And she was very clear in Jesus' name. She was very clear. The Lord she was talking about was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. She was very clear about that. And she just stood there, and I stood there as a proud father and just watched her share the gospel in the way that she was supposed to share it. She didn't, you know, and then she ended it with some verses. But my point is, she shared the kingdom with these people. And shared not from, and you need to be saved, and the script said, but, you know, she shared it by loving on them and telling them about the love of God and telling them about how God has changed her to love and teaching how you're really supposed to love people in his name. And I watched everybody still, silent. Nobody was, you know, you could hear a pin drop. And I just listened to that and said, this is why we're here. This is why we're here. Because the testimony of you loving and blessing somebody in Christ's name, and then every opportunity you get sharing why you are like you are, is what I'm here for, is what we're here for. And my prayer with this family is that we all get this right now. I don't want the Lord to show up and I'm lacking anything or running out of anything. And I have, as I know everybody in this room has, have gotten to places in life that it became more about you and what you want God to do for you than it became about you serving God. And let's just keep this real. We serve him. He don't serve us.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
He does, but he does that because he wants to. Your responsibility, my responsibility is to serve him. So I'm going to wrap it up. I got my verse and I thought I was doing the message, but God wanted me to say to you and just make it very clear. When my son said, every time I hear the story, it's a train. He said, almost every time it's a train. And he starts describing some of the horrors. And I'm like, son, I didn't see none of that. And I'm grateful the train doors never opened. But I felt that despair as soon as the train pulled into the station. And I knew when the doors opened, if those doors opened, there was no way back almost for me. It felt like that. It's like, get me out this train now. The absence, listen to me, all the other anguish and all the other stuff I told you I felt was nothing compared to the absence of God's love and presence. That's the real definition of hell. Getting yourself in a place that you don't have the presence or the love of God around you anymore. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, right standing with him in all these things. And when I say that now, things don't mean stuff. Things means all those things, that spiritual peace, that spiritual comfort, that joy, the fact that we can claim and call on wisdom when we don't have it, that we can pray and know that there is safety even if we don't feel like it right now. Imagine being in a place where Hope doesn't exist. See, you can go through some horrible stuff in this world, but you can hold on knowing that there's a hope or there's a chance that things can get better. Imagine being in a place where there's total despair and hope doesn't exist. There's no it gets better. I knew when those train doors opened, it got worse. And it continually got worse for eternity. And people are there. And people are there. Father, I pray this day that we begin to all treasure the things that are really important. Your love, hope, your wisdom available to us, the truth that makes us free, the love that surrounds us everywhere we go, even when we don't see it or feel it. Even we wake up in the morning with a headache, your love is still present. We take all of these major things for granted. Your Holy Spirit is ours to have. We can have all the oil we want every day, any day. We don't have to ever walk around being out of oil or lacking oil. My prayer right now for all of us in this place, that peace that passes understanding, we treat it with honor and dignity, because some people just don't have that on earth. But there, it doesn't exist to even find. We thank you, Lord, right now. And Lord, I'll keep talking about this train ride for the rest of my ministry career, if that's what you want me to teach. This season in time, this time we call Christmas, when it's really about just trying to get people presents so they won't be mad at us. Father, this is the time we should really think about the best present you gave was, yeah, I know you think I'm going to say that Jesus Christ is Savior, but no, I'm going to go past that, that you've given us the gift to cry, Abba, Father. That you've given us the ability and the right to call you Father and know that you call us sons and daughters. Most important gift on this planet. And so, Lord, fill our hearts, Father God, with a hunger for you. Not works, not legalism, just for you. Let us never stray again. In Jesus' name. Amen.